Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The Islamic Republic of Iran, the suspect nuclear weapons program, the predatory attacks on the neighborhood of the Middle East, and the drone program in cooperation with the Russian attack on Ukraine, the ballistic missile program under sanctions. But I welcome Benham Bentalibel, a senior fellow for the Foundation of Democracy, to comment on all these items. But we lead with a story in Politico these last hours that is a puzzle. A man named Rob Malley, has been the U.S. Special Envoy negotiating with Iran over many matters, but chiefly the Islamic Republic's suspect nuclear weapons program, until Rob Malley no longer was negotiating and there was questions about his security clearance. Now we have this item from Politico. Republican lawmakers are calling for the State Department to probe how the Tehran Times, an Iranian state-run media outlet, obtained a purported memo informing U.S. Special Envoy for Iran, Rob Malley, that his security clearance was suspended. Benham, a very good evening to you. There are enough twists in this so that I couldn't repeat it without prompting. Rob Malley has been a mystery for some time, why he's been at home and not negotiating. Do we know anything with clarity? Good evening to you.
Very good evening to you, John. This is very much a case of who knew what and when did they know it, particularly in the time frame of March, when allegedly, based on that document that Tehran Times, which is a pro-state newspaper inside Iran, somehow managed to get, thereby scooped Western media on this, which raises the prospects of, was there a leak between someone close to Malley who had or someone like Malley or close to Malley who had received a memo about the potential suspension of their security clearance. And then, of course, what activities did he engage in before the story went public in May, as well as what are the questions about the exact status of Malley today, as well as his successor, which still has acting in his title. So what we know is that there's a ton more questions than answers. And in the background, one assumes that given the fact that it has been reported that the investigation about the security clearance moved up from a simple DSS, diplomatic security, to a Department of Justice potential FBI investigation, that there might be something more there than meets the eye, or that if it is a process crime related to handling of classified material, as the Tehran Times alleges amid three other crimes, then there may have been a repeated instance of it, or there's much more breadth there than depth if one takes the Tehran Times allegations at face value.
Which we do not. Fine. What was Malley's job while he was negotiating with Iran? What was his mission, and how was he regarded in that job?
Well, my view of the situation is that he was the North Star for the JCPOA, even though he was special envoy for Iran and would provide both the president and the NSC, and most importantly, by serving in the State Department, the Secretary of Defense with Iran policy advice. He was charged with resurrecting the 2015 nuclear deal known as the JCPOA. In my view, he is an advocate of diplomacy, even for the sake of diplomacy, and that's putting it quite mildly when that diplomacy ends up rewarding America's adversaries like the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Under Malley's attempted outreach to Iran, you saw Biden move from seeking a longer and stronger deal, then the same exact nuclear deal, then something less than the nuclear deal. And now we're in the world of some informal, interim, unwritten understanding that his successor appears to be continuing to be able to obtain a pause in Iranian nuclear escalation. It's also worth noting that despite Malley basically saying that there is no correlation or linkage between the hostage diplomacy and the nuclear diplomacy that has been and continues to be ongoing, that there is more linkage practically and politically for U.S. sanctions and U.S.-Iran policy that meets the eye. So he was also tasked with getting out those hostages.
So Iran, the hostage story was Rob Malley's before he was suspended. That was his work.
Indeed. They had laid the groundwork for it. There is involvement later on from the NSC level. As it was reported, I think in May, Brett McGurk had gone to Oman. It was alleged that Rob Malley had helped set up the political diplomatic back channel that went through with the Omanis. Lots of footwork here.
It's too much Le Carre in my mind to let this go easily. He's involved in very fragile conversations with Iran, which is a predator state. He's now accused of serious breach. How does it go? Serious security concerns by his personal conduct, handling of protected information, and use of information technology. That's the memo that Tehran Times publishes. We have no reason to believe it, but those are the quotes from that memo. All of that suggests to me that what we have here is maybe somebody removing Malley because he was doing too good a job, that somebody turned on him. Is there any reason to believe that he has? I don't know. It's very strange. He's in a high-profile job. He's done it for years, I believe. This is not his first rodeo. He was involved in the original JCPOA, and I can remember Rob Malley's name being mentioned back with John Kerry at the State Department and before, back to John Kerry and his presidential campaign of 2004. So this is a veteran Washington handler. There's nothing in his background that suggests that he would breach national security, to my reading. Is there to yours?
Indeed. In fact, his service in different U.S. government formal and informal capacities goes back to the Clinton administration. The challenge there is both with his external non-government role as the head of the International Crisis Group, and more generally, given his writings and leanings, he's an ardent proponent of engagement with everybody, which is often a fancy way to say engagement with America's enemies. And diplomacy will certainly have its place. This almost became a dogma or a religion for Malley, some would say. There's certainly identitarian politics at play here, but I'm not going to get into unpacking some of that social engineering. But the interesting thing is, and I'll just tell you this personally, as someone like me who is a self-avowed hawk and critic of the way both Malley handled the diplomacy and overall the policy that he was designed with executing, I continue to use the same kind of reporter, lawyerly language that you do with respect to the memo, which is, if it is true, the allegations. But there are people to my left in Washington who socially don't even use them in relation to the Malley case anymore. I don't know if that's because they know more than I know, or they're choosing not to be so lawyerly in this case. But this is just an interesting social observation I've learned.
Let us turn then to what we can know a little more substantively. This is Bloomberg within these last hours. Iran uranium near bomb grade in focus at Atomic Watchdog. That's the IAEA. Slowdown in accumulation would be seen as diplomatic signal. Iran, U.S. have been inching toward understanding to de-escalate. All right, my limited understanding, I submit to you, the expert. 60% enriched uranium. There is a certain amount that it has been achieved in a stockpile. To go from 60 to weapons grade in the 90s is not much. It's not much the distance. You go very quickly. 2, 5, 20, you've got some cascading to do. But at 60, you're there. However, no one's removing that stockpile. That stockpile is not coming out of Iran. They have possession of it. What Iran is doing is saying we're going to make less of it more slowly, something very vague. Now, that's as far as I can go. What is it that Iran is offering that the U.S. is interested in, given that that stockpile is not going to leave Iran?
John, you yourself are the expert here. I couldn't have put it better myself. In essence, anything 20% and above is considered highly enriched uranium. Weapons grade, again, purity levels is considered 90% and above. But just a historical reminder, the U.S., the only country to use these weapons, dropped two atomic bombs in World War II, one uranium, one plutonium. The uranium one we dropped was enriched to 80% purity. So technically, it is still possible to have a nuclear weapon with less than ideal weapons grade levels. All of this being said, enrichment, as you mentioned, with the word cascading, is essentially a logarithmic equation. And really, when Iran reached 20% capability between 2010 and 2012, that was a game changer. And we continue to live in a world made by that game changer. But there is a historic pushing of that game changer level in April of 2021, 4 months into the Biden administration. And that is a historic month because that is the month that indirect U.S. nuclear diplomacy through the P5 plus one in Europe began with Iran. And the month that the diplomacy began is the month that Iran went to 60% purity. And so that's much more closer than a hop, skip, and a jump to a bomb. And all that's happening now, as you very accurately and very astutely assessed, is that the pace or the output of the enrichment is slowly diminishing. It's basically like having a neighbor who's insane and blares rock music all day long, and you've had qualms with this rock music being blared all day long. But now they're more in charge of the volume dial, a little bit lower, but the music is still blaring. The music is still blaring. The stockpile is still there. And in fact, even with this reduced output rate, the overall accumulated volume has grown and continues to grow from the last quarterly report of the International Atomic Energy Agency. In total, what this provides the Biden administration is one or two political indications of a downward arrow to continue this indirect footsie that could lead to some more indirect nuclear diplomacy with Tehran. And again, connecting the dots here, a hostage deal might be a predicate for a nuclear deal. And unlike the 2015 deal, this one is going to involve more general licenses and waivers than pallets of cash and lots more hand waving and lot less talking.
All right, we're back to the hostages. My understanding is that there's, by the Biden administration, there's not a connection between the 60% enriched uranium to be removed and the hostages. Or is there a connection? Because somewhere in here is $16 billion.
So I would draw the line that this is Tehran potentially trying to follow up with a line that has existed in U.S.-Iran political parlance since the early 1990s. And it was a phrase then President George Herbert Walker Bush used in his inauguration about hostages taken by Iran's proxy, Hezbollah, which was goodwill begets goodwill. The administration is making the case in deed and not in word that goodwill begets goodwill. Get the hostages, give the money, give the prisoners, and then in turn, Iran may do something that allows the political space for the administration to say, look at these downward arrows of the threat. Aren't we better managers of the threat? And that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy until 2024. But as you mentioned astutely, doesn't do anything with the actual stockpile. And this is an adversary which is in control of the escalation spigot. And historically, any kind of even slight backpedaling has often been in the medium to long term offset by escalation, enrichment, and aggression at a time and place of their own choice, because there are multiple domains of competition between the U.S. and Iran.
Ballistic missiles, that is Benham's specialty, and we're going to turn to ballistic missiles yet next, because there's an astonishing allegation made by Iran against the State of Israel, the AP reporting. When we come back, I'm John Bell.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.